Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 341.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 341. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Oh, man. There's like a billion things on my to-do list, and it's not for Jazz Piano School, but I need to show up for you guys. I need to keep showing up and delivering amazing content because that is what I promised and committed to 10 years ago when I started this business. The reason I say that is because next Friday, June 28th, I'm getting married. So I'm right in the thick of things. And for all of you guys and gals and everyone else out there that have gotten married, I think you know what it's like. And I'm going through it and I'm having a great time. But you should see the list, the laundry list I have on my phone of things to do. And it's long. But I'm having a great time. So June 28th, I'm getting married. And that's next Friday. It's coming up. We're going to have two guest podcasters, Trent and Sterling, my amazing Jazz Piano School staff educators, delivering podcasts to you guys because right after I get married, I'm going on my honeymoon. We're going to be in Costa Rica. That's going to be really, really fun. I can't wait to be there traveling in the jungle. I love excursions. My future wife and I, we love traveling. We love being out in the wilderness. We love trying foods. We love being in the culture of different countries. And we're very adventurous people, yeah, to a degree. I mean, there's some people out there doing triathlons and swimming through San Francisco Bay, you know, from Alcatraz. We don't do that kind of stuff, but we love to travel. We love to meet people. We love to talk to people. We love music, obviously. She is a high school band choir teacher, director. You know, she does all the pep bands. She does the choir. She does the jazz band. She's amazing. So we're very involved with music, obviously, both of us. And so we're very excited to get married and lots and lots and lots of going on. And you probably haven't heard from me that much through my email list, if you are on the email list, just because of all the things going on. But I am going to keep you guys more up to date. Because we're almost through everything. We don't have that much more. We're just going over fine details right now. But the accelerator program and mastermind programs just finished. They will be starting up in September. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that. We're constantly working on things in the website. That's still picking up. I have some amazing new team members helping me out that I've recently hired. So they're doing an amazing job, fantastic job with that stuff. Really good things going on. And yeah, it's super busy right now, you know. So again, go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool to check out all the video lessons. Go to jazzpianoschool.com to check out all the free education. Obviously, there's the membership courses and live programs there available as well to sign up. What else? Yeah, you know, our wedding is going to be on Carmel Beach, which is going to be fantastic. And then in Monterey, we love that beach to death. It's just such a gorgeous, gorgeous area for any Californians out there that have been there. Dogs running around, beautiful California coastline. You can see Pebble Beach Golf Course. I love golf in the distance there. And the town of Carmel is just gorgeous, and Monterey is gorgeous as well. So it's going to be a beautiful time. It's going to be nice to have a break. You know, I did just finish teaching the 9-month mastermind. If there's any mastermind students out there, I think they're enjoying their break as well, probably until next semester or next school year, I should say, right? So it'll be nice to have a little break and unwind and just rest. You know, I just need some rest, honestly. I don't really like resting that much because I'm such a doer, and I like doing things and being active and staying busy. And it's hard for me to kind of chill out and rest. But I think I do when I know I want it. Like if I feel myself that I want to rest, then I know it's, I'm like, okay, I really need this. If I feel like I need to rest, I need it. You know, so because that tells me it's like, okay, well, you don't usually want rest, but the times that you do, you're probably overworked. So thank you guys, everyone who's given some wedding gifts out there. I truly, truly appreciate it. If you want to go see pictures and stuff of the wedding, you can actually just go, what is the link, man? I don't even know the link offhand. You can honestly Google Brendan and Elizabeth, Brendan Lowe and Elizabeth wedding, probably. I don't even know the link offhand, but I'll let y'all look into stuff. Yeah, just type in, just type in Brendan Lowe and Elizabeth wedding. You can see some nice pictures there if you want to check those out, see what's happening. Anyway, it'll be a fun time. I'm very excited. And again, I just thank you all so much for your support. I've been just getting lots of love, lots of support, lots of congratulations, lots of great wedding advice and tips, which I welcome. I always love hearing stories from people and just insight. I love learning about, you know, the future and the journey. So I appreciate all of it. And you guys are the best, honestly. Just here throughout my entire journey, you know, I've gone through ups and downs in different relationships while continuing to work on JPS. JPS has stayed consistent because I committed to this and it's my baby and I'll never let this go. I'm never going to give up on this, but I'm really, really happy about the place that I'm at in my relationship, obviously getting married, right? And just in life in general. So it's been an amazing ride, and I think it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better from here on out. So amazing, fun episode. If you didn't check out the last episode, you definitely want to do that. And I'm talking about chord scales because stigmatisms, I guess, or bad juju around modes and chord scales. And I really want to try to simplify that for you and help you understand, like, what is the purpose of a scale, of practicing jazz chord scales? Like, so many students, and including myself, we've gone to teachers and they try to get us to practice our chord scales, but we're like, why? Why? Why do I have to do this? This does not sound like jazz. It's annoying. It's boring. You know, how does this translate into jazz? So one of the things I've been trying to do in the last episode and this episode is to really teach you the purpose of having scalar motion, aka steps. Now, steps is either a whole step or a half step. That's a step. Right? What is the purpose of having that in your improv? Because it's truly necessary to create amazing sounding jazz improv. You need steps in your improv. Why? Because steps and scales equates to fluidity. Fluidity and smoothness. A smooth sounding scalar motion in your improv. Now, if you don't have that, then your entire solo or improv is going to be made up of what? If it's not made up of steps, it's made up of skips. Now, skips are needed in improv, but they are what they are. They're skips. So if you create an entire solo out of skips, what is that going to sound like? It's going to sound broken, jagged, hiccupy, just completely fragmented, because that's what skips are. They're skips. So you need steps in your solo, and steps come from knowing chord scales and running up and down chord scales. Right? And if you don't know how to do that, your improv is never going to sound like you want it to. I promise you. And this is why teachers, and even my earlier on teachers, were trying to get me to learn chord scales. This is why I'm trying to help you learn chord scales. And I'm trying to do it in a very easy way. So I'm teaching you three chord scales in this particular podcast. I'm going to run through a tune with you. It's going to be up to you to practice those three chord scales in all the different keys and work on them so that you can open up to tunes and practice the exercise I'm going to run through with you. All right? Now, again, this is just a podcast, so I really don't have time to go through everything on this particular subject, but hopefully it gives you a little bit of insight into, like, why it's so important. If you are looking for more information, go to jazzpianoschool.com in the membership area and the new Improv Mastery course. There's so much information about this that will give you all the practice exercises, videos, etc., to learn how to go deeper with this. Anyway, with that being said, let's dive right into this. Again, thank you so much. The next two podcasts will be done by Sterling and Trent because I will be getting married and then I'll be away on my honeymoon. If you have any questions, obviously continue to write into Jazz Piano School. I have an amazing team helping me out when I'm going to be gone. And the mastermind will be coming up in September, along with the new accelerator programs as well, if you're not interested in joining my personal mastermind. I will not be doing the accelerator program. That's going to be run fully by my team. So if you do want access to me, the mastermind program is the only way to do that. Otherwise, the accelerator program is absolutely fantastic. It's a 3-month commitment. It's going to be run by Sterling and Trent, walking you through amazing customized lesson plans, videos, masterclasses, so on and so forth, with accountability, an amazing community, so on and so forth. And again, my mastermind program is personal access to myself and my teaching at a much higher investment, obviously, because it does take up quite a bit of my time. But I promise you, the results and the progress you will make from the personalized teaching is second to none. Okay. So I think that's it. Let's dive in. Here we go. All right. So the very first thing I'm going to show you is the 3 most important chord scales that you need to know in order to accomplish this exercise. When you go through the tunes and practice what we're about to go through, you may not know some of the chord scales. That's completely okay. But here are the most important chord scales that you really should know. The first one is the major scale. The major scale. Anytime you see a major 7 chord, you can play your major scale. So if there's a C major 7 chord here, for example, I'm going to play my C major scale. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to swing the scale up to the 7. So I'm going to go. Okay. So that's called the Ionian scale, essentially. Anytime there's a major 7 chord, we're going to swing the major scale up to the 7th, possibly back down, possibly just up an octave. I'm going to get to that in just a second, but that is the corresponding chord scale for all major 7 chords at this level. At this level, right? There's obviously more options, but at this level, this is where you want to start. Now, from here, we're going to change one note in the scale to start to play over our dominant 7th chords. So if you see a C7 chord, instead of playing the major scale, right, what we're going to do is flat the 7. So I'm going to make that a flat 7. This creates our Mixolydian scale. All right, so now I'm going to swing up to the flat 7 and back down, right? And again, we're going to use this same process. Now, if you don't know your chord scales and you haven't practiced them, obviously going through a tune is going to be quite difficult, and that's why it's really helpful to practice your chord scales first before you attempt these exercises with the tunes, because you're not going to know how to do this, right? The last chord scale is we're going to take the Mixolydian scale that we just learned, right? And now all we're going to do is change one more note. We're going to change the 3rd, the major 3rd, to a flat 3rd. This is going to be the chord scale we're going to use over all minor 7 chords, and in this case, a C minor 7. So now I have this. Okay? So 3 different chord scales. This will cover 99% of the chord scales that you need to know in jazz. And I can guarantee you that 9 out of 10 students don't even get to that level. Right? Because of, not that because they're not disciplined or they don't want to work hard at this craft, but there's so much confusion out there about chord scales, the Lydian, Super Lydian, Locrian. Like, you don't need all that, right? Just start here, because this will cover 99% of the chord scales you need to know. And if you can play your chord scales over any chord, just the 3 I showed you, essentially in any key, you're good to go. All right? So what we're going to do now is, actually, let me review them one more time. So again, major 7, right, is going to be your major scale, okay? Your dominant 7. We're going to flat the 7 and make it a flat 7. And then finally, we're going to take that scale and we're going to flat the major 3rd to make it a minor 3rd. Okay, now let me give you an example of this, right? In a 2-5-1, for example, this is pretty easy, right? So we're going to play our Dorian mode, essentially the one I just played for you, right? And again, you'll want to practice these before pulling up a tune like I'm about to do, because you got to get comfortable with them first. So here's my Dorian mode. Now again, you can take the little trick that I just showed you. Play the major scale, the D major scale, flat the 7, you got your Mixolydian, and then flat the 3rd.
it'll give you the chord scale in any key. Like if you do that in A flat, you can take your A flat major scale, right? Flat the 7. And then finally flat the 3rd. That's the best way, a really easy way to find the minor 7 chord scale, and you can do that for the mixolydian as well. Again, let's say you're trying to play a D7, take your D major scale, flat the 7, and boom, you got your mixolydian scale. So really, really simple to get these chord scales and learn them. Obviously, not so simple to practice them in all keys. But again, back to this 2-5-1 in the key of C, I'd play my Dorian up and down. I'm going to play my mixolydian. Play my Ionian. Now again, in tunes, I'm about to pull up a tune here in just a second. Not all tunes are just constant 2-5-1s, right? Sometimes you might have an F minor 7 going to an A flat minor 7. So you need to be able to play your minor chord scale for F minor 7 back to back with your chord scale to A flat minor 7. Right? And that's one of the things you really have to work on and practice separately outside of the tune in order to do this next exercise, because your goal is to work up to being able to open up to a tune like I'm about to do and play through the tune with the appropriate chord scales and not miss a note. That's really your goal. And if you can do that, you're in an amazing spot to create some awesome improvisation. Now, the tune I'm going to start to work on with you is going to be Take the A Train. Take the A Train. The reason I'm doing this one is because, as you can see, it's a lot of very simple chord changes. We do have a couple interesting chord changes thrown in there, but for the most part, it's going to be pretty straightforward. So, just as a reminder, why are we doing this? Why are we practicing our chord scales up and down? If you watched the last podcast episode, you would know the answer to that. But if you didn't and you're just joining me right now, I'm going to tell you why. Bebop and improv is made up of three components: steps, skips, and bebop approaches. So if I want to create any sort of improv that sounds like bebop, it's going to be made up of those three components. Check it out. Right, wasn't the best example, but again, what I'm doing is creating bebop approaches with steps and skips. So maybe, so I did a bebop approach, skips, and steps. Something like that, and a bebop approach at the end. Now, obviously, if we don't know our chord scales, we can't run up and down the chord. So if we can't run up and down the chord, then all we're going to be able to play is skips and bebop approaches. We'll have no steps in there. We'll have no scalar motion, and that creates fluidity. So my solo would sound like this. All skips, right? Now, clearly, there's an imbalance there. We need some steps. We need some scalar motion to go, right? And I just ran down the scale there. Now, I know you can't see a lot of the lines I'm playing. It's not really about that. It's just about listening to the, you know, if you were just listening to what I was doing, you would clearly be able to hear the sound of the bebop. And that's even more important than you even watching my hands or like watching what I was doing right there. But that's the purpose of including and playing your chord scales, because a lot of times we need to run up the scale or we need to run down the scale. If we don't know our chord scales, we're not going to be able to do that. Thus, our solo is only going to be skips. And that sounds very jagged and not good. Okay? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through the chart right now and just talk to you about these certain chords. When you do that, this as a beginner, you don't need all these fancy chords. So you don't need the D7 sharp 11. You can treat that as just a regular mixolydian chord. You don't need the C6. Just treat your 6 chords as major 6 chords, all right? It's essentially the same thing. And anytime you see extensions like the G7 flat 9, just treat that as a normal G7. You're not there yet. That's okay. Most students aren't, but they try to jump ahead and learn these cool chord scales and they can't even do the basics, right? So what we're going to do here is on the bars that have 2 bars, I'm going to swing my chord scale up and down with the track to the 7. So I'm going to go. That just occupied about 1.5 measures. Now for the D7, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to swing my chord scale up and down for 2 measures. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 4. Then I'm going to move to my D7, but obviously we only have one bar to swing our chord scale with the track, so I can't go up and down. I'm just going to go up. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Then I'm going to switch to my G7. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And then to my C7. I'm treating this as a C7, not a 6 scale, because we're not there yet. Now, on the chord scales, on the chords that have 2 chords per beat, per measure, I'm just going to do this. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. So I'm going to go 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. And then I'm going to jump to my next chord scale. Right? So again, what I'm doing is playing 4 notes of one scale. 1 and 2 and. And then I'm playing 4 notes of the next chord scale. 3 and 4 and. Right in the beginning 4 notes, okay? So we're going to go through the entire tune right now on the F7. I'm going to swing the chord scale up and down twice, right? And I'm going to go through the entire tune like that. Let's start at a really slow tempo. Let's start at, again, my tempo scale is 60, 90. 60 will be a little bit too slow. Let's start at 90. And we're just going to go through this one time. You can watch along with me the first time and then repeat with me and practice with me the second time. Okay, here we go. Oh, 8 beats. Sorry, let's try that again. My bad. I had my iRail Pro set to 8 beats. So we're going to have 8 beats up front here. Here we go. Ah, I did it again. D7. Minor, G7, C. This is a really, really great way to get comfortable with the scalar motion in a tune, right? And obviously, you needed to know these chord scales before you went about even practicing this. And this is a very easy way to start to get into it. Now, there's lots of chord scales. And again, you should take your improv in slow baby steps. So we've learned essentially the chord scales that are needed for this tune. Now, if you learned all your chord scales and all the keys, you could pretty much open up to any tune and do this, right? If you learn all your chord scales and every key, you can open up to any tune and pretty much do this. Besides some of the, you know, fancy chords like your minor 7 flat 5, I haven't gone over, your diminished scales, stuff like that. But this is really the goal, and it's so difficult for students to even get to this level. And again, the reason this is so uber important is because the scalar motion in bebop, in improv, creates lines like this. So what did I do here? That was all scalar motion. That was all steps utilizing the chord scale that I know how to play. If you can't play your chord scale, you're going to play funky notes. It's going to sound weird. There's going to be no fluidity in your solo. And that's what students are missing so much of. Now, let me try to give you some variations to this. Obviously, in the single measures where you're going up, up, with your chord scale, right? You can change those to go down. So you can change those to go down. You know what I just realized? I had the chord skill. Let me do the example down here. So here, this is over the D7 that you couldn't see before. I'm going to replay this for you just so you can see the chord skill motion. Right? So I'm starting on the 7th. And then ending with a bebop approach. Now on the C major 7, I went... Again, I'm coming down the chord scale here and then into a bebop approach, right? So we need that chord scale motion. But there's variations here. So once you practice the way I just practiced, you can start to change the direction of your chord scale. So instead of going up from the root, you can come down from the 7th. You can come down from the 7th of the G7. And then you can come down from the 4th of the D minor. Fourth of the G7, right? So one and two, excuse me, the, I'm sorry, one and two, and then you're back to your regular chord scale. So you can start to mess around with this in a lot of different ways. You don't have to start on the root every time. You can. I highly encourage you to start your chord scales on the 3rd. So instead of starting on the root to the 7th, I would go 3rd to the 9th. And then I would do the same thing for the D7. Why do we do this? We need to have our hand prepared to improvise and solo in any spot of the piano. If we're just practicing from root to seven, or seven to root, that's the only way we're going to be able to play. We need to create as much variation and contrast in our improv as possible when we're practicing. That way, when it does come time for spontaneity, our hand is ready to go if we want to create a line on the 3rd. If we want to create a line going from the 9 down to the 3rd, maybe. Right? Or from the 5th down to the 7th. We need our hand to be prepared to move up and down on any chord tone in any direction in any way. So you really want to create as much variation in direction, movement, things like that as you possibly can think of. I don't have really a system for this. I would systematically take all your ups, all your downs, maybe up, down, and go through that as many ways as possible, okay? So this is a really, really great exercise. I know we just did it through once. Let's bump up the tempo. We'll do it again. Actually, that's probably good for most of you out there. Let's go through this one more time so you can practice with me, okay? And we're going to do the exact same thing I started with and see how you do. All right, here we go. 8 beats up front. I did it twice before. That was funny. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's our D7 mixolydian. D minor Dorian. G mixolydian. C Ionian. D Dorian. G mixolydian. Okay, I'll stop talking now. Switch up the things from, if you can do that, fantastic. You could bump up the tempo, try to do it at 120 if you want, right? Again, 60, 90, 120, 150, 180. Then you can start to switch up the directions, and then you can start to tackle other tunes. Pick another tune and try to see if you can go through a more complicated tune with more chord changes, right? Again, still ignoring all the extensions, all the minor 7 flat 5s. We're just working on these 3 chord scales, and I promise you, If you can really work hard and master the three chord scales, you're going to be in a much better place than I normally see students, like 9 out of 10 students. If you can just get your major sevens, your minor sevens, and your dominant seven chord skills down cold, you're going to be in a fantastic place for your improv to add in that amazing sounding fluidity of that scalar motion mixed in with steps and bebop approaches. Now, if you don't know your bebop approaches yet, that's fine. Just start with your steps and your skips. That's the first 2 out of 3 components you want to learn, and then add on your bebop approaches after that. Okay? Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you later.